Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Kicking things off the way we like to with our good friend Brittany Malot right now. And I have to be honest with you guys. My intro is a tribute to Robin Williams and Good Morning Vietnam.
That's right.
I think that's the first time I almost said Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh,
I was really close to saying it. Very, very weird. Very weird. Let's not tell anybody I almost did that.
We'll keep it between us. Yeah.
Brittany, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, gosh. I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing all right.
We are feeling good about the weather. It's going to be, we have an uptick coming here.
You ready for the heat? You ready for the humidity?
Yeah.
Yes.
Got absolutely. The shorts on and everything. I'm all set.
You're like, bring it, summer.
What you got?
So
what are you?
Tired of this. Yeah.
I'm just with my arms open, yelling at the sky.
I'm not sure I'm quite ready for it. I personally hate the humidity, which is why I live up north. But, you know, summer, we got this. We got the water to cool down in, and we're going to have it hit us pretty hard. So today, pretty much a lot more clouds than sunshine hanging around. We do have a chance for some scattered showers, maybe a small storm sparking up this afternoon, but it is a very small chance. So more than likely, probably staying mainly dry today. But then, tonight, the winds start to pick up out of the northwest. They're going to start to pull in some wildfire smoke to the area.
Ooh.
That's going to really start to settle down to the surface by tomorrow morning. So if you have some breathing issues or health issues with that, keep in mind that tomorrow morning will probably be the worst for it. And then it's going to start to clear throughout the afternoon. But the winds are going to keep pulling that in before they start to die out by tomorrow night. So we are looking at a hazy sky tomorrow. Supposed to be mostly sunny. We'll see how much of that actually makes it through the smoke. But highs will hit 80 degrees. So we're already starting that warm up. Yeah, a little bit of heaviness will start to creep in. Nothing too crazy. Then we get a little blast of dry conditions. Still bright and beautiful Saturday. No more wildfire smoke in the upper 70s. And Sunday, there's that humidity. Heat starts to move back in. 80 degrees, getting humid. Monday and next week, it's going to be oppressive, icky, sticky, dripping sweat kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm with that you. Means summer's here. That's what I say.
I'm with you on the humidity thing, but at the same, I have a hard time complaining about the heat in this state. I feel like we get so little of it and everything.
Hear me complain about the heat.
Yeah,
never.
I don't know. But we'll be happy about it either way. We appreciate you, Brittany. Thanks so much for the update. We'll talk tomorrow. We'll get people ready for the weekend.
Sounds good. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning. Seth and I got a great couple of hours lined up for you, everybody. In just a little bit, we have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We have the end of an era at airports. Something interesting going on there.
Flying.
Yeah, right.
we can only hope, but, you know.
The end of an era. Sanity.
Yeah.
Steak nuggets. We got to talk about what that is.
Steak nuggets?
I did not pre-read that. I don't know what that is, but we are going to find out.
All right.
The 10 o'clock hour going to kick off the way we like it to on a Thursday with our friend Denise in the Southwick County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week.
Awesome.
Shout out to Milltown Coffee, sponsoring that segment.
We also
got some interesting entertainment news for you. We have a connection between Steely Dan, Weird Al, and Hulk Hogan.
Nice.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting.
Let's do it.
Daryl Hall and Yacht Rock. That is coming up. And how did Pee-wee Herman get his name?
Ooh.
That is all on the way.
I do not know that. That'll be curious.
We'll talk some Rafter baseball as well. We'll give you a chance to win some Rafter tickets. Got that coming up. And we're talking about our newsletter. Got a new edition in the newsletter coming up today.
Coming out today on Thursday.
All that lined up and plenty more. It's live radio. Who knows what can happen?
Who knows?
Got to start here. We start local, Seth, in our opening monologue. Sheriff's deputies in Wisconsin engaged in a, quote, brief hoof pursuit with an escaped pig that ended up with the porcelain proprietor being lassoed and reeled in using heavy machinery.
Okay, that last part you got me, huh?
That last part, all I was doing was trying to pronounce it.
Yes.
I was not thinking about
it. I did enjoy the article writer doing the alliteration there, but sometimes they can go a little overboard with
porcelain
that.
Porcelain proprietor.
Porcine, yes.
Porcine.
The porcine proprietor. Way of saying pigs, yes.
I like porcelain. I like that. The Washington County Sheriff's Office said on social media the deputies responded at 7:32 a.m. Saturday to a call, quote, involving an animal at large in a subdivision in the town of Wayne. I got to admit, I don't know of the town of Wayne. I'm not sure I know that one.
I'm not as familiar with that one, no. Yeah.
Deputies arrived to find a farmer attempting to corral a pig that fled from its home. Quote, after a brief hoof pursuit through the quiet subdivision, one deputy lassoed the suspect like a county fair champion.
Nice.
The pig, clearly unimpressed, took a refreshing dip in a ditch while the next phase of the operation was developing.
Okay.
The farmer and deputies used a construction vehicle with a large shovel to reel the pig in the ditch out of it and transport it to the pen.
How big was this pig?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I want to know.
I want video. I want to see some, here we go.
Do they have a little bit of video
okay. with it? So I'm going to show Seth right. some of the video.
They got a little backhoe. They bring it in to haul it out. Okay.
I've always wanted to use one of those. I've never gotten to use one.
Or a little bobcat. Sorry, bobcat is what I should say. Yeah. That's what they're called.
I love those things. Yes. I'd love to use one. I'd like to know what it's like. So they're trying to figure this out here. Right. They're not just wheeling this thing over there.
I like the smile on the deputy's face right there. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Like, every incident has a number associated and all that.
Right, right.
What is the number for that one? How do you even
pig has escaped, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. They're getting ready. There we go. All so right.
They're trying to.
They're getting the cord, the rope, by the looks of it. Yep. Getting that ready.
Rope around the pig, and they're kind of like, you know.
That is a pig, man.
That's gigantic.
That is a large porcine
animal. I'm just
animal.
Seeing like the back end of it, and it almost looked like a bear.
Yeah. Oh, like, my gosh. It is thoroughly dirty.
It looks
like a pig that's just rolled around the mud, which it had.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's literally what it did.
It just bucked, and I didn't know pigs did that. That thing, I didn't know they did that, man.
Oh, wow. But they got it in the front of the bobcat on the little loader on the front end, and they put the thing up to keep it from moving, basically, so it doesn't run away again.
Because yeah.
I don't think one guy can. Trying to get out. And one officer could not hold that pig, man.
No,
too big.
No,
They need many people to do that.
I would have wanted Andre the Giant with me on that one. That is a big pig.
It's very big.
The pig is.
That article didn't kind of get into that enough. How big that pig was.
Eventually, after what we can only describe as strategic negotiations, the pig was returned home and put in a more secure pet.
Mm.
The post ended with a warning that some commenters took as a challenge. And yes, to all the witty keyboard warriors, we've heard all the jokes.
Of course they have.
Yeah.
they made some of them themselves, I'm sure, too.
I can only imagine. Imagine the jokes. Just the jokes that were going on with that one. That's a pretty good
one. That's pretty good. I like that one.
And, of course, as we're getting ready for, more and more baseball this season, we got some softball on our sister station 105.5 tonight and everything, mm-hmm. playoff softball
we
for
do.
You. Just a quick story of one of the, we're, and I love these, we're going to have a lot of them. It's early, we haven't even gotten really to summer yet. A Detroit Tigers game against the San Francisco Giants when a squirrel ran out on the field
at
the start of the baseball game.
Love it.
They draw the attention of FanDuel's network announcer, Jason Benetti, the best in the business. I think Benetti's the best.
Yes.
Quote, and now that Euchre's gone, I think Benetti's the best.
He's got to be up there.
Quote, we like to stay on topic here, but squirrel! I just lost it right there, like Benetti does. And kept everybody into the game.
Yeah, he's good at his job.
What animal would actually surprise you anymore? We've had squirrels, cats, dogs, all kinds
of
birds.
We've had snakes. They've had skunks,
man,
of course.
Yeah, skunks.
They've had swarms of bees. Remember that in Arizona a couple years ago, that big swarm of bees that they had there? Yeah.
There was a possum some years back that was found in the outfield. There's. I don't know many animals. Now it's got to be something big. It's got to be a pig. It's got a pig just showing up and everything.
I want a pig running around the infield. That'd be hilarious. Oh, my God.
That'd be a pretty good one.
Knocking players down.
Be pretty interesting. Seth, as I've noted to the audience many times, my kids are in their mid to older 20s and stuff. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not around this as much. You'll have to maybe hit me up on this one with your boys. Are they eating bananas upside down? A random poll asked the internet, what end would you open a banana from? And 72% said the end with the stem, which you might consider the normal way, quote,
right.
normal way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 20% said the other end, and 8% said they weren't sure. My God.
They look at a banana and have no idea what to do. What do I do now? What do I do?
That's that indecisive significant other that you ask. And this can be a man or a woman, by the way, mm-hmm. That you ask, where do you want to eat? Oh, I don't care. Well, how about here? No.
No.
How about here?
No.
How about, just answer the question. Well,
they know where they don't want to eat, I guess.
Why did you take the survey if you can't even answer yes or no? So those percentages hold true for most splits of the population, mm-hmm. except age. Younger adults are more likely to peel a banana from the bottom, about 1 in 4 do, compared to 1 in 6 adults.
Okay.
Interestingly, the bottoms-up approach is how most monkeys eat bananas.
That is true.
And maybe they're onto something.
Yeah.
When a banana is ripe, the top, or what we think of as the bottom, is actually much easier to pull apart.
Right.
Try it. Pinch the top where the seam is and peel away as usual.
Yes.
Speaking of I got to try that. I like bananas, yep. So I want to try that.
Just watch. Watch video of a monkey doing it, and you'll get the idea very quickly. Yes, of how to do it.
I love the idea of this too. Like more of this society where instead of we're evolving past these things, and we're learning from animals.
Yes,
I don't want to say we're devolving, but we're just like, oh, they had it right the whole time. Speaking of banana debates, are you cool with breaking apart bunches of bananas at the grocery store, or is it poor form to split one or two off? Wow, I've never thought about that. I've seen people do this, but
yeah,
I've never done this.
And I guess I'm okay with it. I mean, because you only need certain bunches. You have an idea of how quickly they're going to be eaten in your house, however big your household is, and however popular bananas are in your household. So you get an idea of what you need. I don't have a problem with that because it doesn't do anything to the bananas,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe the next person coming along, they'll be the exact amount they want, right? They'll say, oh, hey, perfect. I need 5 bananas, and here it is, a bunch of 5.
To that point, and correct me if I'm wrong, audience, 715-424-2600, or just call up using the Civic Media app. I've never heard of this or thought about this until now. And I am one of the world's right. biggest overthinkers.
It's never crossed your path, I guess.
Never really thought. I've seen people do this in grocery stores, and I worked in a grocery store for a while and saw quite a bit there. But I thought kind of what you were ending up with there. You got a banana that the stock is 5. Somebody pulls 2 off. Somebody else is looking for the 3.
Yeah, exactly. It just works out, right? Yeah.
It feels like this is this one of those things where we've been working this out in society this whole time?
And we didn't even realize
it. And we need to take some credit for, everybody take a pat on the back, society.
Good for
Here's
you.
Here's one we got right. Yeah, we're doing this right. We got this all
Excellent.
Figured out. We didn't need any government overhead or a bunch of people telling us what to do or anything. We just figured this
we
out.
We figured
on
out
our
bananas. So the only question I have about bananas, very, very seriously here is, will there be a day when we no longer use bananas as a telephone?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because we don't have phones that are shaped like that, basically, anymore. We just have, no one makes phone calls anymore, just texting.
Yeah.
Will the day come when the banana is no longer used as a telephone?
It's something that...
That would be a sad day
It's
for
very
me.
Sad. I don't even want to think about day. It. We're already not using it for jokes anymore. I mean, when's the last time somebody slipped on a banana peel?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, come on. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I'm single, so wonder if 8 or 9 bananas or 7 or 8. I don't need that many. I can't eat that many.
That's
so
right.
I always split them apart, and I always put that tape back on them so the next person has a number to.
I don't see. There you go.
I don't think it's a problem.
No.
Again, I don't want to assume this or anything, but I agree with our caller here and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it just kind of works out. The next person gets the amount they want,
exactly.
and all that. And I don't feel like we're in a banana shortage or we're in a tough situation. But I agree with you, man. I think that's the right way to handle it.
I agree too.
And you're getting your bananas. That's good.
That's the important thing, right? Good. Getting your potassium, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, you have a good morning, man.
Yeah.
Have a good morning, sir. 57% say that they break them up. So I think that that's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah.
And finally, what color do you prefer your bananas? 54% like them a solid yellow. Another 21% like them a little before that with some green. While another 15% like them a little riper with brown spots.
Brown spots on them. A little sweeter that way, that's for sure. Yep.
4% of people claim that they eat them mostly green and 0% like them mostly brown.
0%.
Wow. Wow. We got a zero.
I don't see many of that.
I think that's
wow.
the first. I think that's a first.
Because when it gets to some point, it's like, well, now it's time for banana bread.
Right.
Right. Now it's ripe enough. We got to do. You got to do the banana bread. So then you're good to go.
A while back, there was a poll about eating fruit peels, and just 1% of people said that they'll eat banana skins.
Oof. So I know you can eat them. They're not going to hurt you, but I've tasted. I'm not on there.
I had a sketch once where I had to take just a bite out of a banana. My character didn't understand or know how to eat, but
right.
food. It wasn't just bananas, but food in general. I was also taking I think it was mashed potatoes or rice. I can't remember, but one of them, and just basically smashing them into my cheek. It was a really rough sketch, but we had to do it 3 times. Like it was 3 different performances, and we did it like. And each time, I'm taking like a bigger bite out of the banana, and my character. Has to talk and stuff, so eventually just like I didn't want to throw spit it on the floor because other people got to clean up and everything afterwards.
That's gross, right?
And I popped it in my hand, the pop, spit it in my, and then I put it back. It was funny. People laughed.
That's committing to a bit. That is committing to a bit.
I didn't. I was just thankful that I still like bananas.
Look what it did to your mashed potatoes. It just destroyed everything there.
The things we do for comedy, man. Thank God they laughed. Thank God. We will come back with doing some celebrating. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner with Seth and James on the morning show at WFHR. You heard the boys. Time to do some celebrating. One of our favorite segments of the day, we celebrate you with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us. Mm-hmm. Buy local, support local. And speaking of bananas, I want to try that banana bread French toast.
Oh, God, that sounds good.
It sounds really good.
So I'm not a big French toast guy. You know, I'll eat it. You know, it's not terrible or anything like that. But, man... French toast made out of banana bread? Oh, that sounds just amazing. Sounds amazing.
Uh-huh, I want to try. It sounds really good.
All right, now. Let's see. It's not really bad. French.
It's really bad. It's toast. Really bad.
It's the way it's cooked. It's not because it's from France.
No.
Come on now.
It's just about the cooking, We appreciate our friends at El Cafe.
Yes,
we celebrate with them over there, everybody. And we appreciate all of you getting us your birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming. We'll take them throughout the whole show today. You can go ahead and email us, info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and certainly you can call on up.
Yes, 715-424-2600 is the number to call. Do that right now, everyone. You can also use the Civic Media app, of course. By the way, you're going to want that Civic Media app because coming up next week, we've got another statewide text-to-win contest starting.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to want to have it ready.
We're excited about that.
We are.
Be on the lookout for that next week. And, of course, tomorrow we're going to be giving away Brewer tickets.
Yes,
so you'll want it for that. So keep that Civic Media app handy, everybody. Mm-hmm. Rafter baseball that you can take with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. All kinds of great things on that app. Seth, I need a 1 through 3.
Three today.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Deanne Johnson,
happy birthday.
Wishing you the greatest day, Deanne. Mm-hmm. Hope it's a good one for you.
Yes.
And we wish a very happy 20th anniversary to John Caves and Barbara Hunt Caves.
Oh, happy anniversary, you two. Congratulations. 20 years. Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Now, we're in a little bit of a complex situation here now.
Okay.
Oh. Because the people that qualified don't technically work here, but they do stay here a lot. They almost live here in some ways, at least one of them. Happy 32nd anniversary to Phil and Ann Hartley.
Oh, happy anniversary, you two.
We just talked to Phil yesterday.
Yeah, we did. The Wicked Awesome Word on the Sunrise Show. Yeah,
yeah. Where if you haven't heard and if you've been missing it, every Wednesday, be sure to catch that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
Yep.
Phil Hartley joins us with Quality Plus Printing with that Wicked Awesome Word. Have a lot of fun with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they can qualify. Phil doesn't technically
Why not?
Work here,
he doesn't work here. That's fine.
Happy 32nd, Phil and Ann.
Yes, that's wonderful.
As another, Ann is amazing. Ann's
yes.
awesome.
Yes.
She's great.
An amazing person.
Wishing you both a great anniversary. Mm-hmm. Enjoy. And it's Thursday. I say go right ahead. Celebrate right into the weekend, you two. Celebrate right in.
Oh, Phil was working too hard. He's always working.
Probably. Yeah. But enjoy. Enjoy. Take some time to enjoy the day,
yes.
guys. You deserve it. Taking a look at who you share the your birthday or anniversaries with.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Lee Linkletter is 31. She is director Richard Linkletter's daughter.
Oh.
She grew up on camera as Mason's sister, Samantha, in the Oscar-nominated movie Boyhood that I know that we've talked about a number of times.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That one was filmed over many, many years.
I was going to say, is that the one where he did that very long period of time that wait for the actors to grow up and that sort of thing? Yeah.
Okay. It's a revolutionary movie, really.
Yeah.
The making of it,
yes,
it was.
For sure.
Really impressive. Carmelo Anthony is 41, recently retired NBA star. They have him as the star of the LA Lakers. He played there for like two minutes. He played there for like 2 minutes.
Get out of here. He played for the Nuggets. That's who I always remember him being, a Nugget. Yeah.
A little bit of a Nick, but mostly the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a great player. Won a championship in college.
Yeah.
On a number of gold medal teams.
Yes. He was of his era, of his generation, he was one of the best players.
Mel B is 50. Former Scary Spice of the Spice Girls. And I believe she has been on America's Got Talent through almost its whole run.
She has been there for an extremely long time, yes.
As far as second acts go and what you do with your career afterwards, I don't know a thing about her, really, mm-hmm. or the Spice Girls, for that matter. But what I do know, like, she seems to have done a pretty good job of what do I do next, mm-hmm. you know, as a pop star, where do you go next with it and everything. And that's a pretty good gig.
Hey, I'll take it.
Let's see here. Melissa Etheridge is 64.
Oh, yes.
She's good.
Amazing. She's... no one sounds like her.
Yeah.
She's got a very distinct style, a very distinct sound, and I've always appreciated. She's always had this nice edge to her, too, that I really appreciated as well.
The great, the wonderful Annette Bening is 67.
Ah, tremendous actor.
Recently in Captain Marvel, it was kind of cool to see her in that role.
Nice to
and
see
everything.
Her there.
She did a great job, as always.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible presence, Annette Bening has.
That stage presence, man, or screen, I should say. Screen.
She's
presence.
Really good.
Yes.
The legend, the great, the wonderful Danny Elfman is 72.
Wow.
Oingo Boingo genius turned movie composer and TV composer. Basically, if you've ever watched a Tim Burton movie, you've heard his music.
Yep.
He is the score of Beetlejuice, Batman, Sleepy Hollow. Also did the first Mission Impossible movie, Men in Black, Spy Kids, Spider-Man, Alice in Wonderland. And I haven't even mentioned what I should be here in this state with Oingo Boingo. And, I don't want to work. That's Todd Rundgren.
That's Todd Rundgren, yes.
Yeah, sorry.
But Oingo Boingo had the Dead Man's Party is probably their
best
known song.
Yes. And there was something else Danny Elfman did
that
he
was
famous for. I can't remember. Oh, yes, the greatest TV theme song of all time, The Simpsons.
Was that the thing? Now, if I remember correctly, I believe like Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, like basically wrote down what he wanted to hear. I want it to sound kind of like this, but could you also do this and do this? And because Danny Elfman is amazing, he's like, okay. And he did it. I mean, how do you do that?
That's
amazing.
I remember hearing this story from Danny Elfman and Matt Groening telling it. They tell it pretty much identical.
Yep.
And the first thing I thought of was, as a copywriter, when they would come in and tell me, okay, I want something new but traditional. I want something fresh but, you know, not controversial. Okay, what are you asking for here? And Danny Elfman did it. Yeah,
he did.
Some people that are no longer with us, like John F. Kennedy, born and staying 1917, our 35th president.
All right.
Incredible legacy.
Yeah.
You know, not him, not just the Kennedys. And certainly, times for us to, you know, be able to walk a balance in life.
Mm.
You know, nobody's perfect.
Nope.
And being able to look at a person as a whole and everything about them, the good and the bad.
Yep.
And it is on us, in going into the future and all that, we have to get better at this.
Yeah.
We all have to get better at this and be able to look at this and not necessarily just judge a person while also not, you know, just throwing things under the rug or under the bed and ignoring them.
No, you can't do that
both.
Either. Yes.
You can do both.
Yes, you can.
And we're seeing this more and more. I was talking with Michael about this yesterday with Brett Favre and being able to look at him. This new documentary and everything doesn't necessarily have a ton of new information, but it's bringing a lot of stuff back into the limelight.
Right.
And having to be able to, we all have to have that. We all have our own personal line in the sand.
We do.
And I think it's on us to not only figure those things out, but not to judge others on where their line is.
Exactly.
And the greatest MC of all time, born on this day, Bob Hope, born in 1903, passed away in 2003. The quintessential performer. There is nothing Bob Hope couldn't do. I loved him as an actor. The Lemon Drop Kid is a movie I will go back and watch for the rest of my life. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. He was an incredible comedian, whether it was timing, writing, his voice, his tone, all of those things, absolute 10 out of 10. And then there's the MC work.
Mm-hmm.
And that as somebody, and you and I have done this work, and we will tell you that this is not, it's one of those things that on paper seems like one of the more simple things to do in entertainment.
Right.
And yet to pull it off and to do it is so dang hard.
Right.
It is so difficult to the point where it wasn't until Billy Crystal that there was a consistent host in any award show, period, not just the Oscars. Nobody had a consistent host because nobody was really great at it until, except for Bob
Hope. For Bob Hope, yeah.
He was the best ever.
He did. He hosted the Oscars for like decades. He was the only guy that did it. And it's because of, like you said, he was a good MC. You can argue he wasn't the best comedian. You can argue that people were funnier than him. Maybe you didn't like his style. His style was joke, 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 joke. If it didn't work, he would throw a little, you know, appendage on there. He was really good at that.
Yeah.
As if the joke kind of fell flat, and then he had something in his back pocket about that joke, and it usually worked. He was very good at that. But some people, it's like, you know, that's not my kind of comedy. But as an MC, amazing. Absolutely one of the best.
To piggyback on your point there, part of the reason I say that greatest MC of all time is nobody could read an audience like him.
Yes.
What do I say all the time? Know your audience. Yep. Didn't matter wherever he was, he could do that. He could be able to do that.
Doing it in front of troops, doing it in front of a TV camera. Didn't matter. He could do it all.
And bringing people, doing what comedy is meant to do, putting everybody on the same level.
Yep.
Whether you were a president or you were just the bus boy, Bob treated you the same way on and off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a better one. There was nobody ever better. And thank you for mentioning it, because that's where I wanted to wrap with all this being said. I don't think it's a tough argument to make. The greatest work he did was the USO shows.
Right.
And the legacy he made and the impact he made with those.
Right. It's funny because that started during World War II. He was the best, of those groups. Bing Crosby always said he loved doing shows for the troops because they were the best laughers. Mm-hmm. He said they had those big belly laughs and Bob just loved hearing that.
I'm telling you, this weekend, I'm at least watching some clips from Lemon Drop Kid. I'm just elite.
I love nice.
Well, one of the best profiles ever.
That knows.
Oh, my God.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, man.
That's great.
He was
knows.
The best. He was the best. We're going to get to a break here, take care of our news, sports, and entertainment and our partners when Seth and I get back. The end of an era at the airports. We're going to talk about that coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. And also joining us in studio right now is Pam Hilke. Pam.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good to have you with us, Pam. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
Appreciate being able to pull you away from the desk for a moment and everything, because yesterday you attended a concert and we wanted to ask how it went.
Yes, I had the opportunity to attend the LHS Orchestra Spring Pops concert.
Very nice.
So it featured the combined orchestras, all grades 9 through 12, and with also the wind players. There was different songs that were... part of the concert was the string players only.
Okay.
And then for, I believe it was three of the songs that they performed, the band, the wind players, band, percussion was added.
The full orchestra,
right. And they just do an amazing job. I'm just
That's so
impressed with the songs that they play and it's just wonderful. Great performance.
Very cool. Did a really good job, it sounds like.
In fact, one of the songs that they did with the combined, it was Journey's Greatest Hits.
Oh my God.
Now, I mean, this is very interesting to see these youngsters playing music that go back 40, 45 years, to the band.
It's pretty interesting.
And,
yeah.
I mean, it was really, really great.
That's cool.
Good. Yeah. So, but,
awesomeness.
Yes. Yeah. It was very good.
Good to hear. Big shout out to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There was a few young players that were featured, did some solo parts in some of the songs, and very, very well. It's very impressive. This orchestra takes up the full stage there at the PAC.
Really? Wow.
And they wear black attire, but then they've got their wood instruments, and it's just so impressive. I mean, the colors of the cellos and the violins and those stringed instruments, it's just it's just great.
The whole experience. Yeah.
Very, very nice. And the band director, Ginger Martin, she does a fantastic job. So
definitely wanted to shout her out.
Yes, yes. And she also has help with Gene Olson, who is the wind director.
Gene's great.
Gene was not on stage, per se, directing, but, behind the scenes, that's what happens. And the seniors always do a real nice thank you to the orchestra director near the end of the concert. And usually the last song, they've got a slideshow of the seniors that are graduating.
Oh, very nice.
Photos and their some of their high school memories with orchestra and what's in their future.
Very cool.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
It was very, very nice. Very nice.
You really get a real great performance with all of that. And one that I think that is really relatable and also brings a lot of people in. And so happy that they went successful and stuff. Pam, you were in orchestra
in
school,
right? Yes, I was.
Right.
I played violin for many years.
I know, Seth, you were in you played
band. I played cornet and French horn. By the time I finished, I was playing French horn. So.
Right on. Yeah, and that's the same here, cornet, trumpet, and then they didn't have a French horn player, so they
usually draft people into those. Yes,
there's something I think, even if you're not in band, of course, but when you've played an instrument like that, it just does something too when you're watching those kids.
Of course,
it really does put you in that moment and everything, and brings you back.
Right,
there's something really fun about that part of it too, and the nostalgia of it, and the pack. Oh man, just anything you see in that building,
it's a great,
in that theater.
The acoustics in there are pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So
they're some of the best in town, easily. Like they did a really good job on
that
building. That's nice, and so good to hear, Pam.
Yes,
that's
really good
to hear.
Right,
excellent.
The choir concert is this evening
tonight.
Is
yes,
that the
it
last
is.
One. Last one of the
that wraps it up this year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty much the last public school concert, I believe. Mm-hmm. And again, as Pam was telling us, that is tonight at 6:30. The choir concert will be at the Performing Arts Center.
Same place.
Head on over there. Support these kids. Not only going to get a great show and everything, but man, the feeling you get. Pam's been floating all morning just from that. I imagine the nostalgia and some of the fun of that, but just getting how good it feels to support these kids. Great to hear.
Very impressed.
Thank you, Pam. We appreciate that
one.
I do want to remind our audience too, when you take in these shows or maybe something with Savor the Arts or the Arts Council or anything like that, we love to hear from you. Please
let us know. Feedback is always great.
We love to hear that stuff, guys. For now, Seth and I will take a quick time out. We'll come back and we're going to talk about the end of an era, moving walkways at airports. Talking about that. We can come back on the morning show at WFHR. I've been waiting to use this one. Love this song. It may be, if somebody made me choose what my favorite song is, I may choose this one.
Wow.
This is the only song I've ever done confidently in karaoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
I don't do a bad job with this one, and it's not because I have anything of talent singing wise or anything. It's it's the pace that I can keep up with.
Gotcha.
I can do
that. Makes sense. Yeah.
I can't sing at all, but I can keep up the pace, and I can do that singing talking thing a little bit with this.
There you go. You can. It works. It's good for that.
It is classic.
And William Shatner. I mean, right?
Yep.
I'm sure he's done it.
He was my singing influence.
Yeah.
really, this really was.
Mr. Gold Throat himself.
Definitely not my acting influence. Definitely not. Shout out to William Shatner. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. So the end of an era is happening at airports, it sounds like, everybody. You know those moving walkways in airports? They seem a little unnecessary for some, and they actually work out really good for others.
Mm-hmm.
And until you try one, and then you're like, okay, this is a great way to walk twice as fast. These are awesome.
Right.
Especially when your gate, everybody's gate, everybody that is ever gone to an airport, your gate is at the opposite end of where you are.
Wherever you landed, yeah, you're in a completely other section of the airport.
I don't care if we're talking about the airport in Mozanie or we're talking about LAX or O'Hare. It happens every single time.
Except unless you have like a 3-hour layover, then it's the one right next, which happened to me, by the way, once.
Oh, really?
It was literally the gate over. Oh, and I had like a 3-hour, I'm like, come on, really?
That ain't right.
Seriously.
Well, according to a new report, moving walkways may be on the way out at airports because the kiosks they pass by are losing business.
What?
This doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Airports make money in two ways. The fees related to airplanes and other revenue opportunities, primarily retail and concessions.
Right.
The goal of an airport operator is not to get you to your gate as quickly as possible. It's to monetize your journey as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Moving walkways are bad for business because they don't have many exit points, and it reduces foot traffic for businesses. You'll never see a moving walkway at a grocery store or at a Walmart or something like that.
Right.
Because what is waiting for you when you're in your aisle at Walmart is a billion little things for you to buy.
Exactly. And that's what they want you to do, right?
Yep. That's where the real sale is. It's not getting you to with your list and you getting all things on your list.
Yeah, getting your milk and your bread or the stuff, the normal stuff. It's the extras.
It's that lighter you need to buy, even though you haven't needed a lighter in 20 years.
Right. Impulse items. Yeah.
Impulse items is where almost every business is made. Mm-hmm. And it's not surprising, although I never really thought about it with airports.
Mm-hmm.
All my focus, especially growing up around O'Hare and everything, all my thoughts of airports are usually just about the logistics.
Right. Getting from point A to point B, what do you need to do that and to do a whole bunch of people, right?
I make the joke because it's low-hanging fruit, but LAX wasn't really that bad. It's just weird the way they built it. Now, I hear RFK in New York is the worst one built. Like that one.
Oh, JFK? Yes.
JFK, yeah. So mm-hmm. JFK. It's so oddly built and everything. I got that wrong on the man's birthday. I am a horrible person.
Well, to be fair, they named it after he died. They named it after him, so he didn't even know.
I apologize. But that one I hear is very confusing. That one is all over the place. So not only that, but the walkways are also a divider, separating the people walking on one side from getting to the shops on the other side. Then there's also the cost of maintenance. And the design also makes them insufficient to use, with them not being very wide while trying to accommodate walkers and standards, baggage, as well as possible the people with mobility issues who cannot use them at all.
I have never had the issue of it being awkward, like there's too many people on it or anything like that. That has never come up when I've been at an airport and used them. I've never had that problem.
You may know this better than so I've only been in like twice the Minneapolis airport.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful airport.
That is a very nice airport, yes.
A lot of big windows. You look out at everything.
You got a nice tram there, yep.
I had a layover in Denver once, and mm-hmm. that airport out there in Denver is amazing.
I don't think I've ever been there, but I've heard it's pretty good.
It's really nice. Yep. It's like they designed that one really good.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being on the walkways in those,
mm-hmm.
and I like had them to myself.
And
it was a busy time, and I still had a lot of time on it and everything. I'm with you. I don't think I've run into that problem myself, although I could see it being a problem. And I do remember seeing people in wheelchairs, and I'm moving faster than them, and that didn't feel right.
Right. Obviously, you can't use a wheelchair on those. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, all these factors have led to new terminals not installing moving walkways and some existing facilities ripping them out. So
it
sounds like more and more we're getting away from these. Which is sad, but it does leave room for what I think would be the good alternative to these. And I'm working on this, all right? This is just stuff that I'm working on here and everything, but I am not going to copyright this because I believe inventions should be for everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to try to make money off of this or anything, but slip and slides. What? That's a great idea.
What do you do with your luggage?
You figure it out.
Oh, you ride on top of it. So you throw the suitcase and then you jump on top and then you
put the luggage on your back. Put the luggage on your back. I mean, let's not be crazy here. Just put it on your back. And it's like, how much more fun would airports be if
everyone was sopping wet?
Yes.
Business suits, doesn't matter. I mean, just
what could go wrong? I can't even think of anything.
To me, this seems like they're misdiagnosing the issue here. I think it has more to do with less people flying. For a number of reasons. Can we go through a few things that we've heard in the recent couple of years? How so many of our planes that are built by Boeing, guess what, aren't very safe.
Yeah.
Because they cut corners. Okay, that's great. Not a lot of people are going to like that. You know, when you hear a story about a door coming off in flight, not cool.
Yeah.
People not liking that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then how about now all this air traffic controller stuff?
Yeah.
People are not wanting to fly because they're hearing this stuff. It's not being addressed. In fact, it's been made worse because of policies that are being handed down. So why don't we make flying a better experience? Let's make it safer. Let's make it so people actually want to do it, because less and less people are wanting to do it right now. And that means less people to buy your stuff.
Agree with all of that. I will only add on that accountability and competition, true competition.
True competition.
Nobody, they have gotten fat. They've gotten big in the airline industry, like a lot of industries, they're not the only one, have gotten big and fat because they have not had true competition.
Nope.
There's been no accountability when they mess up.
Nope.
They figure, hey, people got to fly, so we could just keep doing what we're doing.
Yep.
There are a lot of businesses, the movie theater industry is similar to this. You look in small towns and you look in a movie theater that has no competition. What incentive do they have to put into the community to advertise?
They can charge whatever they want. Yeah.
Yeah. This is why monopolies are so, part of why they're so dangerous and why we need more and more competition.
Competition is big.
And more more of these conglomerates where one airline buys open another one. We can't have that.
We need more
airline industries out
there. We need the competition. We need, I'm going to use the R word, everyone. We need more regulation.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're talking about people's lives here. It's a safety issue.
Yeah, I know we've normalized it, but you realize we're doing this in tin cans.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked into the science of what is involved with a big old plane, a 757, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking like your walls in your home are built better.
Way better.
It's a miracle of science, and it's incredible what we're able to do, but we've also normalized it way too much.
Yeah.
And we become too numb to all these issues we've had, whether it is the horribleness of a flight being lost, or, oh, we got the black box, or, oh, we've seen this story before. No, one time is too many.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is where I go with the flying cars thing, man. We have not earned that as a society.
No.
We can't even fly planes well. No.
And the idea that we put so much into the airline, you know, into the airplanes to do all of our travel. No, we need other things. We need, like you said, competition doesn't necessarily have to come from other airlines. It can come from trains. How about we make train travel better? How about we do that? You know, that's another way to move a whole bunch of people, right?
I love riding in trains.
And plus, it's way cooler
than
flying in a plane. I'm sorry. Trains are awesome.
Talking to a great friend of mine the other day, we were talking about travel, and I love flying, but I have little to no interest in being in a helicopter.
No, I'm with you on that one.
I feel like the only time I hear about helicopters is when something bad happens.
Yeah.
And even in the movies. The movies tell us all the time. The only time you see a helicopter in a movie is something's going to happen to that helicopter.
Horrible's going to happen.
Yeah, there's an action scene.
Chekhov's helicopter, yes.
I don't care if it's a Shakespeare play. If a helicopter shows up, something bad
it's
going
to crash.
Down.
It will crash.
And that was one of Shakespeare's rare plays.
Ode to copter.
It's not one of his popular ones. Not one of his better
not well known. No,
And not something that they will be talking about on Masters of Mystery.
Nice segue.
WFHR is a new program that we're airing on the last Sunday of every month, Seth, at 9 o'clock. It is a perfect match for our Sunday original block that we have.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, everybody, we're going to be adding to that too coming up here sometime.
We are, so yes.
We're very excited about that.
Can't on the other Sundays, we don't have Masters of Mystery. That time slot will be filled by something else.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned. It's going to be cool. But Masters of Mystery is this wonderful program brought to us by Rob Young.
Yes, who is a mystery writer in Minnesota, in the Minneapolis, the Twin Cities area. And every month he brings on mystery writers to talk about the craft, you know, how they come up with stories, you know, basically just to talk about what, you know. But man, mysteries are so popular.
Yeah.
It's one of the most popular genres of literature out there. And they break it down. And it's really interesting. I've heard a couple of them. And it's just, I'm not even a mystery reader. Mm. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. It's some fascinating conversations on that show.
He does a really good job of, I think, the questions that he asks, too.
Yes, he does.
I like a lot of his process with that. And
he's a mystery writer himself, so he knows what he's talking about.
And what a great guy. What a great guy. Really nice. Really fun to work with. Mm-hmm. Really giving of his time and flexible with a lot of the stuff and everything. And here is a chance for us to support another artist, a Midwest
artist.
Who also himself supports other Midwest artists and everything.
Yep.
It's a fun show. We encourage you to check it out. You're going to have a chance to this Sunday. 9 o'clock, we will have Masters of Mystery Radio Hour. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And spread the word about that show in our Sunday night lineup.
Yep.
We've got an amazing Sunday night lineup with a lot of original fun content for you.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind as well, while Masters of Mystery wouldn't be affected or anything, we do have Rafter. We are in Rafter baseball season, so our Sunday night lineup might be a little bit altered.
We'll have a few Sunday night games that will preempt us, but that's okay. Okay, we can handle that.
Yeah, and we'll keep you up to date on all those things and let you know how that's developing.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited to bring in Denise with our Pet of the Week from the Southland County Humane Society, thanks to Milltown Coffee, coming up right here, along with we're going to get into some other fun stuff. Got some entertainment news for you we'll be getting into. And we got to talk about steak nuggets still, so we got that one coming up.
Do we? I don't know.
We'll find out on the morning show.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media.